You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Thursday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the afternoon racing at Chelmsford, Huntingdon and Sedgefield. We've also got action in the evening on the Tapita at Wolverhampton. Alongside that, we've got racing outside the UK from Thurles and Maidan as well. We'll aim to take a little bit of everything on racing radio on Thursday afternoon from 1:20pm with Ross Briley, Gary Capewell and Tom Morley in the studio. But my name is Sam Norris, and joining me to preview four contests on Thursday as well as a quick spin through the latest news is the wonderful Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmers?
Oh, very good afternoon to you, Sam. I'm in rampant form simply because I've just watched a veterans chase at Donny and three of them have gone past together, and the likely winner is a horse that's ran three times this season and pulled up on each occasion. That has given my training career a big boost because I've had three runners in the point-to-point this year and they've all pulled up.
Right, yeah. Okay.
So
the tides are turning.
Hopefully the God is with us somewhere along the line.
It's not the only horse we've had today that's won after failing to complete the last twice. We had another winner at Donny earlier that had UU by the name and put in a nice round of jumping.
He did put a nice round of jumping. I don't want to correct you, Sam, but it was at Ludlow.
Oh, was it Ludlow, was it?
Yeah, right. It was indeed. But anyway, by the by, you're right, he got the job done. He was actually a son of New Approach called Deadly Approach. Right. He'd unseated the last twice. He jumped like an absolute professional today.
Like a stag.
Never touched a twig. Like a stag.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. He jumped like a stag, you know.
Absolutely. We'll get stuck into some of the some more reflections on Wednesday's racing in due course. Firstly, though, Pims, we must mention the breaking news that reached us yesterday. It was probably covered on the podcast yesterday, but I'll get your thoughts anyway. Thistlecrack, the Antipodes Gold Cup favourite, has been ruled out of the Gold Cup. First of all, Pims, it just shows how difficult it is to keep these top jumps horses sound. It's very, very hard, isn't it?
Fragile is the word. They're fragile.
Yes.
They are equine athletes and they're trained to the highest level, and sometimes things break. In fact, no, sometimes don't break. They nearly always do break somewhere along the line. It's not a case of when or if. It does happen. And, you know, we take it for granted time in, day out that, you know, these are going to get there. And that's what swayed me a little bit with the likes of Coney Gree. I thought he should have run in the Royal and Sun Alliance. Connections went for the Gold Cup.
Yeah.
And he went for the Gold Cup and he won it. And he's never maybe going to ever get to a Gold Cup again.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So when they're fit and when they're well and when they're healthy, maybe sometimes you do have to take possibly what I would call in the olden days a rather unorthodox approach.
Yes.
Rather than going, you know, through the divisions to the top division. But yeah, he's a sad loss for all concerned. And he's a big, strong, powerful horse, and he seems to be a very forwardy-going animal. Whether that gives him the opportunity to mentally chill down and take his recuperation well, that's also a thing that you would have to worry slightly about with him, because he does seem to be very much a horse that wants to be busy and on, and you know he's more likely to have box rest or something like that, which possibly might life difficult for him. But yeah. You know, hopefully, according to the Tizards, it's not the end of the road. A bit of TLC and a bit of time off and he'd be ready to rock and roll again next year. So fingers crossed, because he's been such a sensation this year that, you know, we will watch him as the Gold Cup favourite, and a worthy Gold Cup favourite, to be perfectly honest. Fortunately for Colin Tizard, he's in a very favourable position now where he still holds the aces for the Gold Cup. So it's a blow, but it's not the end of the world, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And again, I've seen on social media the headline in the Racing Post today being, what was the word?
People were saying it was slightly disrespectful. Thistle crocked. That it was in not so much bad taste, but it was a little bit insensitive, I think, is the word.
I think they need to get a life, don't you? You know what I mean? I don't think there was anything detrimental about that. It's a headline. And, you know, the story...
It tells the story, I suppose,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah. For somebody to say it's insensitive or whatever, if that was my horse and I looked at that, I wouldn't be thinking anything detrimental to the guy who's written the headline, you know? Yeah, that's the way it goes. But
that's the
society we live in now.
Yeah, indeed. Less about that, though. It comes on the back of yesterday's story as well about Native River. Connections saying that some people had been slating the horse. I've never really heard anyone have a bad word to say about Native River.
Personally, I haven't seen that either, to be fair, Sam. And again, you know, how can anybody slag him off? Because, you know, he wears his heart on his sleeve, that horse. He jumps for fun. He doesn't know when to give in. And listen, there'll be an awful lot of people in the national world would love to own him, that's for sure.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Do you think that's sort of borne out how popular Kew Card and Thistlecrack are? It's not that Native River's unpopular, but Kew Card and Thistlecrack have obviously got more fans, if you like, more of a fan
base.
Yeah, but
only because Native River's only just sort of come on the scene, hasn't he? So
he's the youngster of the three, isn't he?
Yeah, he's only just come on the scene. He'll get his followers, that is for sure. And as I say, his attitude is fantastic, and his prowess at jumping is very, very accurate, clinical, really, really good. I mean, he ticks a lot of boxes as Native River, that's for sure.
Yeah, and he's now the 5-2 favourite for the Gold Cup. 3-1 about Kew Card, Jackadam 5-1, 8-1 Outlander, 8-1 Sizing John, and 12s or bigger the rest. Let's just...
I'm just glad that this race isn't a handicap, really.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, you could... You could take Outlander out, you could take Empire of Dirt out, Don Polly, they could go out.
They could all go out.
They're not handicapped favourably.
Correctly, yeah, so we're not playing anymore. In fact, Mr Handicapper, we're taking our toys home.
Taking our ball and going home.
Yeah, we're going home. And until you treat us fairly, yeah, well, I've been on some of those flights. I've had a little bit of excess weight. They've taken no mercy.
Yeah.
Pay, pay, pay.
I'm guessing from your reaction there, you think that Michael and Eddie O'Leary are throwing their toys out the pram a little bit.
Oh, pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. Because, you know, they haven't done things possibly in the favour. And I can see it's not an easy task for Phil Smith either, but he has done this job for a long, long time.
Yeah.
He does know what he's doing. And usually on the day, what he's done works out for him.
Mm.
So I think that's not it. And I also feel that their reaction to the handicapping over here, they must give the Irish handicapper a hell of a time.
Yes.
Because this is just one race. He has to handicap their horses day in, day out, race by race. I can't imagine... he has an easy life, the handicapper over there. But who knows? We're maybe putting two and two together and making five. But, yeah, come on. Let's
do you play think that, the game. Do you think there'll honestly be no Giggenstam runners lining up at Aintree? For the big one?
Of course the world will. Of course they will. They're not going to miss the opportunity to win the world's greatest steeplechase, are they? God, blimey.
Because a few extra pounds.
Yeah, well, let's boycott it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you're quite as big as that yet, lads.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, I don't think Outlander was ever really going to go anywhere, was it?
No.
But you'd be surprised if Don Polly at least didn't line up after possibly a tilt in the Gold Cup, provided he remained sound.
Well, let's put it this way. I can't imagine that Giggenstown will not be represented in the world's greatest steeplechase.
Yeah, correct. Let's quickly talk about some of Wednesday's action then, because we saw some real festival clues on a Wednesday afternoon, which doesn't happen every Wednesday, it has to be said, but we saw Limini and Apples Jade bump heads over at Punchestown, and we saw Limini get the better of the short price favourite Apples Jade. It was obviously a first run of the season for Limini, a winner at the festival last season, but Apples Jade a three-time Grade 1 winner in her own right, and dare I say it, Limini looked as though she had a little bit in hand as well, Pimmers.
Yeah, very, very nice performance by Limini, to be fair. Apple Jade made the running. Walsh on Limini just bided his time. Obviously, she had an absence of 298 days. Came to draw up sides Apple Jade at the final flight of hurdles. Both jumped it fairly well, but when Walsh gave Limini the office, she quickened up in real good style. Hands and heels right to the line. Very, very impressive. To be fair, it's difficult to tell on your monitor how fit she was, but she looked very fit, to be honest. Whether there'll be a big improvement on her fitness-wise remains to be seen, but she can only be better for that debut run this season. And you just can't take away. It was a very, very impressive performance.
Yeah, and I don't think, if we need a confirmation, that was it, that William Mullins can get one right for the day without having a prep run or anything. It didn't look like she needed the run whatsoever. 298 days off the track and has beat grade one horse.
I think anybody who's questioning William Mullins having one fit after an absence, they're barking up the wrong tree there.
Yeah, correct. Either of those in terms of the festival, do you see them champion hurdle bound? We've got the Mayor's Hurdle as well, obviously. Mullins, despite his injuries, has still got plenty that he could send to different places. Gigginstown, Gordon Elliott the same. Where do you think their likely festival targets will be?
I don't know. I wouldn't like to try and preempt that. They've got opportunities and that's the big bonus for them. I mean, working on William Hill Racing Radio today, somebody emailed in to say, what price would we give him, Rich Ritchie, not having a winner at the festival?
Well, Duvan's going to win.
Well,
minimum.
You'd have thought that's a loud call, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Rich Ritchie's not going to have a winner at the festival. I'd be more than surprised, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, just...
In fact, I'd go and eat A with a donkey.
Yeah. I've never heard that one before.
Have you not?
Go and eat A.
You're only seven. What do you expect?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, true. I've only just left preschool.
Exactly.
Yeah, you'd have thought Duvan.
That's why we've got to get kicking on with this. This interview, because it's nearly your bedtime.
Bedtime, it is. It is indeed. That brings us nicely on then to Thursday's action, after I've had the hurry up there. We've got one race from Chelmsford City, two races from Huntingdon, and one race from Sedgefield.
We're not going to do the final three now, are we?
We're still going to do the final three.
Oh, we're going to do later.
We'll do the final three at Kempton as well. Don't worry about that. Not on this podcast, though.
All right. But different one.
Yes, correct.
Oh, two podcasts for the price of one listener.
Well, when we've got someone of your immense talents in Pimmers.
Yeah, indeed.
We only have the pleasure of you one day a week. We're not just going to let you walk out the door without imparting some serious knowledge.
Very kind.
We'll begin with this Chelmsford City 255 race then. It's the first of the races that we're going to preview on Thursday afternoon. It is a handicap over a mile, eight runners lining up for it. As always, there's a reasonably good pot on offer for Chelmsford City for this Class 4 event. What did you make of this field?
I thought it was a very competitive race. Interesting one or two players here. Loyalty was one of those. He won the race last year at an SP of 11-1. I don't think he's going to be that price tomorrow. He was a little bit unfortunate last time out when he got beat here at Chelmsford. That was over 7 furlongs, up to a mile tomorrow, when he was beaten half a length by Outer Space. And I thought he could have just been a little bit unfortunate, as I say, on that occasion. Won the race last year, coming back to hand. I think he's going to be a serious player. And I thought the other one that was interesting was King of Dreams, who I thought, again, ran well last time out up at Newcastle when he was 4¾ lengths behind Worlsey's Oyster. He's fairly unexposed, really, in the context of this race. And I just thought he could well be a player and possibly represent a little bit of value for money for us as well. But he's 10 now, Loyalty, but it well could be his race for the taking again tomorrow.
OK, Pimmer's then going for the elder statesman of the field, Loyalty, at Chelmsford City for that 255.
Do you know the meaning of that? Loyalty?
Of loyalty? I thought you meant elder statesman. Yeah, I know the meaning of loyalty.
All right.
Are you saying I'm not loyal?
I didn't say that. I'm just saying, did you know the meaning of it?
I know what some words mean. I know I'm young, but I know what a lot of words mean.
Okay. Well, just remember that when you get a bit older, and I'm very old.
Okay.
Keep the loyalty.
Okay. I certainly will. Sage advice indeed. We go over to Huntingdon now then for their feature race of the day. The 3:10 is a listed mare's chase. Seven runners are lined up to contest this one. 2 miles, 3 furlongs is the trip. Just over 17 grand on offer to the winner. Quite a few last time out winners in the field as well, Pimmers. What did you make of this listed heat?
Very, very good contest. As you say, listed, good prize to the winner. Seven of them are declared to go to post. Obviously, on official figures, Desert Queen is the one they've all got to beat. She's got an official mark of 148. Admittedly, she's got to give £10 away to all her rivals, but she has the form in the book to be able to do that. Slight thing that concerns me is that she's going right-handed again tomorrow. And at Leicester, when she won, she jumped left-handed. Mm. And she won a good race, a listed race at Market Raisin earlier on the year. Another right-handed track where, again, on that occasion, she jumped a little bit left-handed. So, although she's had success going right-handed, possibly she finds left-handed that little bit easier, but obviously these type of races have been run on right-handed tracks. But, yeah, she's got plenty of form in the book. She's a nice mare, and, again, she's with a good stable in the shape of Harry Fry. I thought Acting Pieces is interesting. She was a winner last time out at Catterick when she beat Conquering Gold by 3¼ lengths, 6 runners on that occasion. So, again, she jumped well on that day. Gina Andrews rides her all the time. And she definitely is a player, as too is Antarctica Decay. who again was a winner at Bangor last time out. That was over 2.5 miles, similar sort of trip again tomorrow. And again from the very powerful Paul Nicholls yard. But again, unofficial figures, has a little bit to find. So I think it's very difficult to look beyond Desert Queen. And I think Acting Pieces will chase her home.
Okay, Desert Queen then and Acting Pieces could be the forecast link for that 3:10 race at Huntingdon. We stay at Huntingdon then for their 3:45. This is a handicap chase for the John Big Oxo Trophy. Know anything about that, Bimbers?
John Big Oxo Trophy. Well, Oxo used to be like a type of gravy, didn't it?
Do you remember that? Yeah, yeah.
In little cubes.
Oxo cubes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There used to be... Was it the Bellamy lady who used to do the adverts for Oxo?
I wouldn't remember that.
Yeah,
no.
I think so. Yeah. But anyway, that's by the by. We digress, we diversify. The John Big Oxo Trophy. We're racing for it tomorrow. $7,500 just short of for the winner. Competitive handicap over 3 mile 3, so it's or even 2 mile 3, should I say. And I'm going to go for King of Glory here. Venetia Williams is charge. Finished second just 6 days ago, to be fair, at Sandown. He was unfortunate on that occasion. He made a bad mistake and stumbled badly at the second last. Was unable to recover there and went down fighting by 2 lengths behind Willoughby Hedge. So that was a very, very encouraging comeback run by King of Glory. The last time we saw him prior to that, he'd won. So there could be certainly a little bit more to come from him. This is always a good time of year to be following Venetia Williams horses. And I think he can get the job done in the John Big Oxo Handicap Chase.
Thank you very much. The thoughts of Pimmers there for the 3:45 at Huntingdon. One more race to come then. This is the 3:20 at Sedgefield. A novices hurdle coming up here over 2 miles. 7 runners go to post in this one. An interesting mix of runners here, Pimmers. What did you like?
Our mix of runners is correct. Now, this is what concerns me about Northern Racing.
Right, OK.
OK, we've got a conditional jockey's handicap hurdle for a decent price, yeah. Just short of $4,000. Philip Hobbs, David Pipe, Sophie Leach, Dan Skelton.
Southern.
Yeah. You know, that would, in my day, that would never have been heard of, the Southern trainers coming up that far to plunder our prizes, and not even the big prizes. But anyway, there we go. That's a sign of the times. To be fair, I think it's difficult to oppose the top weight here. Louis Vakpouch, is it? Vakpouch?
I would imagine.
Yeah. He sounds French, but I think he's Irish.
He's Irish, yeah, he is Irish.
Yeah, but anyway... He got the job done very nicely last time out at Southall. There's no strength in depth in this. And again, if this was a handicap, he'd be giving lumps of weight all round. So they've found an ideal opportunity for him. And I think he's certainly a player tomorrow. If you can forgive Mr. Clarkson, who was 6-4 favourite when he pulled up at Exeter the last time out. Obviously, that was not his running. Hung badly left. Jockey pulled him up. Then, prior to that, his form was pretty solid. Little bit to find, but... Again, David Pipe's not sent him all the way from down south for the good of his health, has he? So, you know, he could be a player if you can forgive him that run 11 days ago. But I'm hoping that the Hobbs horse can get the job done.
OK, Louis Vakpouch or Pooch then gets the nod for Pimmers in the 3:20 at Sedgy. Just remind us quickly, please, then, your 4 selections for Thursday afternoon's racing.
Yeah.
You'd be so kind.
I will indeed. Looking for something we all lack now and again. Loyalty.
You're not a man who lacks loyalty, are
you? Loyalty in the 2:55 at Chelmsford, in the listed race for the girls only at Huntingdon. Girl power reigns there in this race. Desert Queen for me. The Oxo Handicap Chase, King of Glory. And in that conditional jockey's novices hurdle at Sedgefield, I'm going to take a chance with the Southern Raider in the shape of Louis Vakpouch.
Thank you very much, Pimmers. Always a pleasure, never a chore. And we'll speak again soon. And remember, you can tune into William Hill Racing Radio on Thursday afternoon from 1:20 p.m. with Ross Briley, Gary Capewell and Tom Morley in the studio. Sedgefield, Huntingdon, Chelmsford and Wolverhampton all on the agenda. We might even take a little trip to Thurles and Maidan as well. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.